fans, mate, thank you so much. All the best. God bless.
Well, hello, folks. We listened to a little bit of Snots. That was their hit song, Always, one of the hometown heroes closing out Transmit Festival. And that kind of is where our coverage from Scotland ends. We heard a bit of West Side Cowboy as well as an Irish band called Chasing Abbey, who will be playing in Eastern Atlantic Canada in August. So check them out if you're around there. I'm going to leave you with one last bit of music before we go into our interview. So we're going to be listening to some new music by a band called Medieval Found Footage. They're from London, Ontario. They've just released an album, a debut album called Abagnale, and they're very post-punk. So if you like bands like Black Country New Road, Black Midi, sort of that Windmill Brixton scene, then chances are you were listening to the same music as them, because they're very influenced by all of those things. You can find them on Bandcamp. They are at medievalfoundfootage.bandcamp.com. I'm going to play us one song from the album called Spokane, Washington. And then we'll go into the interview, the Houseplants interview, band from Vancouver. Find them on Bandcamp at The Houseplants, spelled H-A-U-S. thehouseplants.bandcamp.com. Here is Medieval Found Footage. See you all next week. Goodbye.
Just now, dredged 203 feet of mud in the Spokane River.
Northeast. I'm joined by one third of Houseplants, and you spell that H-A-U-S.
Thank you.
I'm getting a lot from the name already, but can you introduce the whole band to us?
Yeah. So I am Sel. I sing and I play bass, and Amir is our guitarist and also does some backing vocals, and then Sonder is our usual drummer. But she was not able to come for North By, so we were joined by Sina, who's a friend of ours who lives in Toronto. And so, yeah, it was nice to, like, it was interesting playing with a different drummer, because we've, like, never done that before. And it was like, oh, this, like, feels a little different. But it was, like, good. It was interesting. Yeah.
And you guys have been on tour a little, so did you get any time at all to actually rehearse?
I arrived on Monday. Amir arrived a little earlier, because we've just been staying with friends here. And so we were technically rehearsing, except I got here on Monday and, like, immediately lost my voice. And so I was, like, on vocal rest until, like, Thursday and then again today. And so I was kind of, like, freaking out. And I have so many, like, supplements right now. Like, I have, like, all of the, like, throat coat, like, you name it. I was, like, Shoppers Drug Mart, save me. Anyway, yeah, so we rehearsed with Sina, which was great, but it was essentially karaoke style, because we were just like, sorry, like,
yeah. Well, I would never have been able to tell, because you guys sounded great out on stage.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
And let's come to the house part of Houseplants.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting a lot of post-punk just from the name itself.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate that. I feel like Yeah, post-punk, I honestly didn't know what post-punk was as a genre. Yeah, until like a year ago, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Which, again, I think it's constantly changing, but I think that's definitely, like, Amir really comes from, like, a post-punk influence. I think Sander as well has some, like, overlapping there, but it was something that I was like, this is new to me, but yeah, definitely comes through.
And one thing that a lot of people talk about when they mention you guys is that you sort of come from all over the world and bring all, like, influences from each of your hometowns into your music as well.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear a bit about that.
Yeah. So we did meet as a Craigslist post. Yeah, so it was our drummer Sander made a post. Amir and I were the only people who responded. And so I think in a weird way, like, for the first year, we were almost more like co-workers than we were friends. Like, we would, like, finish rehearsal and then be like, all right, see you next week. Like, and then one time we were like, wait, should we, like, get drinks? And then, like, it was, yeah, like, 2 years ago, I remember, like, being like, oh, these are my friends. And it was, like, a really lovely, like, because you're just, like, otherwise I don't think we would have, like, met in a way. Anyway, Derebe. But yeah, Amir's originally from Iran. Sander's from Mongolia. I'm from the States. And I think we all obviously come from very different origins, but then also, like, our musical interests and backgrounds are very different. And so especially, like, with our more recent EP, we were really trying to explore that a little bit more and, like, lean into that, like, Into Equilibrium, the song. Like, Amir was kind of like, let's lean into the, like, 6-8 rhythm and, like, you know, more of that scale structure that he, like, grew up with. And so it was really cool then as a band to, like, incorporate that and learn it and, like, make it into, yeah, our own weird synthesis.
You'll have to help me walk through this one a bit, yeah. But I heard a bit of that. I heard a lot of that on your second last song that you played today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, there I was getting the kind of, like, different rhythms, the arpeggios, the kind of, like, moving scales and stuff that was happening.
Yes. Yeah, that's Hypocrite. And I think that, yeah, that's also, again, most of this, like, because I think our first EP was, like, essentially Amir and I were, like, writing the songs and be like, okay, I wrote this song, like, and then I would, like, add lyrics, let's play it. Mm-hmm. And then the second EP was much more, like, we're doing this as a band. So, like, the first one, it was very kind of more, like, distinct, which, who wrote what. But then, yeah, with Hypocrite, like, the basic chord structure is quite simple, but then the outro is, like, this weird, like, 7, like, bar loop with weird chords that was all Amir. Like, I came with a simple song, I promise. And then he was like, oh, yeah, what if we do this? And, like, so, yeah, it's kind of one of those beautiful little, like, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you go from the first EP to the second EP, you're maybe finding your feet in the beginning.
Totally.
And your first EP, Bright and Direct Light, that was 2023. So
yeah.
there was a lot of time for you guys to kind of develop into your second, into Equilibrium.
Yeah.
Because that was just earlier this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
February?
It's 2024 February? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what year is it? No. Is it 2025? I don't remember. But yeah, it was last year that we released it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also, like, you guys come from Vancouver and everything. I'm wearing this t-shirt at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
There's something in the water over there right now because so many incredible bands coming out right now.
Yeah, I love the Vancouver scene. It's really interesting because, like, there's a really great, like, hardcore, like, punk scene, like, especially, like, Piss and stuff like that. There's so many bands that are, like, doing really cool and interesting stuff in that niche. And I'm, like, I feel like we're one that's a little bit outside of it, where I'm, like, we almost, like, yeah, we haven't really played with as many of the hardcore bands, but they're all just, like, still, like, so nice, so cool. Yeah, I feel like there's so many bands that, like, we've played now over, like, 60 shows in Vancouver, and it's just, like, so inspiring and cool to, like, see what people are doing. And especially now, like, I haven't gone to, like, I guess, like, a real concert, that's quotations for my radio listeners, because I feel like I've just been going to, like, local stuff mainly, because it's just like, oh, there's such a rich scene, like, it's cool. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That was a show, like,
no, and as you were saying that, I was just kind of thinking about how Vancouver kind of came up almost by surprise. Like, when I was talking to Taylor from Piss,
yeah,
and she said that when she'd moved to Vancouver to do music, like, a few years ago even, people were like, oh, there's not really much of a scene over there. Like, why would you move away from Ontario and all that? But now, like you were saying, there's, like, a very strong hardcore scene, and you kind of see bands from all sorts of music popping up. Like,
yeah.
I see a lot of them come by on Bandcamp and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, like, post-punk bands, indie bands, people who are just kind of doing their own thing out there.
Totally. I feel like, too, like, branching off of what Taylor said, it's one of those scenes that you have to find it. Like, I remember for the first year that I was in Vancouver, I was just like, I would love to go to local shows. I don't know where they are.
Right.
And then, like, especially, honestly, it started with, like, playing shows that then we, like, started, you know, the venues, and then suddenly you're like, oh, there's something every night of the week. There's multiple things. Like, but yeah, it's kind of a little bit underground. So I can understand that reputation of, like, nothing's going on. Yeah.
And you guys have been playing all over as well, touring for Into Equilibrium. How have the shows been so far?
I feel like, I mean, like, we haven't really been all over because we were just in Montreal last night. Yeah.
But it is far from Vancouver.
It is far. It's the furthest we've been. Montreal was awesome. I think we played with two really talented bands. It was Apicalda and Carnif. Look them up. They were so cool and just, like, yeah, it was at Casa, which was just, like, a really good room, like, in general, like, the vibe was really good, great energy, but, yeah, and Toronto's been good, too. It's, both of the venues have been hot, which, I don't know, I feel like in Vancouver, the venues are pretty air-conditioned, and so I was like, whoa, like, not prepared.
But I think you guys generally get warmer than us, so it makes sense that the venues are air-conditioned. Like, we have our cold months. I think you guys have less severe, like, winter months at least.
Right. I don't know.
That's me guessing. But it's a great, like, band origin story to come from, to say, we just found each other off of Craigslist.
It's super weird, yeah.
And, like, you said that you were also the only people that responded to the ad, so something about it must have drawn you in. Can you remember what Amir was looking for?
So it was Sonder, and...
Oh, right.
Yeah, no worries. I think that, what she was looking for at the time was a synth-pop band.
Okay.
And that was something, because we, like, looked at the email again, like, probably a year ago, and we were like, LOL, we're, like, not a synth-pop band.
I was going to say, it is pretty far from synth-pop.
Yeah. Which we have synth now, but... Yeah, I feel like...
You just celebrated our 1 year, by the way.
I remember Sonder said that, like, my and Amir's messages could not be more different, where, like, mine was very, like, colloquial and, like, oh, hey, blah, 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 and Amir's was very, like, professional, and he, like sent the whole thing. Yeah, which I feel like is still kind of the vibe of the band. Like, we, like, have very different, like, I feel like he's much more, like, formal about stuff. Anyway, yeah, I feel like I can really only recall the synth pop stuff, but apparently no one else in Vancouver wanted to.
And then when you started writing, it just turned into something else.
There was, like, a really distinct moment. It was the first time we ever, because the first time we met, we went to a coffee shop because we were like, okay, let's, like, Craigslist, let's make sure no one's, like, totally wild. But then the first time that we jammed, it was to Overture, which was one of the songs on our first EP, and it was, like, a demo that I had sent, and we just, like, played it, and then afterwards we, like, looked at each other, and we were like, oh, there's something there, and, like, I feel like that's such, like, a magical, just, like, serendipitous, that it's just like, oh, wow, like, this just, like, works.
So, and it all just clicks.
It's crazy. It's so weird. Yeah.
And how does the songwriting happen for you guys? Like, who comes in with a song idea? You know?
I feel like, yeah, so it used to be, like, you know, Amir, I would come in with a chord progression. But honestly, especially with, like, what we're currently writing, is I've just been, like, going over to Amir's and we'll, like, sit down and be like, okay, here's this idea I had, and kind of flesh it out. So it's been really interesting to kind of, yeah, see how it breathes differently. Yeah, and then, you know, I'll come up with lyrics and melody, and typically we have, like, an idea for drums, but then Sonder also kind of, yeah, brings it to light in a different way.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, I'm hearing a bunch of different kind of post-punk influences as well. Actually, let me ask you, what influences do you guys see in your music or try and bring out in your music?
I do feel like in general, like, again, we all come from such very different, like, musical just interests in general. But I'm like, especially, so I'm like, it depends what we're writing, but like, especially with like, kind of the current stuff we've been doing, I've been really vibing with like, David Bowie stuff, like Magdalena Bay, Cockatoo Twins, like kind of more of that like dreamy, eccentric stuff. But
I'm hearing a
every other bandmate would say something different.
I was gonna ask you because like it sounded, and I was just like listening to you guys playing it live today, but it was like it feels very complex, very layered. Like there's shoegaze, but there's a bit of jazz thrown in. There's a bit of like experimental touches, and I'm hearing a little bit of a band like Muse as well in the kind of like proggy sense.
Amir's a huge fan of Muse, absolutely.
Okay, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
So it is a really, like, it feels almost like it would be a daunting thing to put together into a single song.
Mm.
And then to put it out there and hope that, like, people, like, don't get too lost in it, basically. Mm.
I think, to be honest, again, we don't typically start by being, like, here's what we want to sound like. Instead, it's kind of like, here's an idea that we have. But there have been a few songs that have been tabled because it's just like, okay, this is like going too many places. And like, yeah, sometimes it's hard to like find that cohesion between what you're making.
Those are the ones saved for the album when the fan base is waiting.
When they're actually able to handle it. No. We have like a 7-minute song that I've been like, guys, we've got to do this. And we have to do it like a weird minimalist Laurie Anderson thing. And like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Like, I feel like
I'm not surprised at all to hear that. But there is an album on the cards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, is there anything you can tell us about it? Is it kind of like formed already?
So there's some skeleton and there's some flesh. Like, I think I'm really looking forward to, especially this summer. Like, we have kind of tried to slow down a little bit on gigging, to just spend more time writing, because it's so lovely and it's kind of, you know, the fun part, if you will. Gigging's also fun, but
absolutely feels like you enjoy the writing part from the way you're talking about it.
No, I'm like, no, I have like a little notebook like a crazy lady that's just like all of these things that I like, you know, I'm like thinking throughout the day, or like I like find something, I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Yeah, because for the album, I'm really inspired by like the very like 70s psychedelic like concept albums and like sci-fi literature, and so the intention that I have for the album is to not like a like strong storyline, but kind of more of a concept album. Yeah, looking at memory and emotion, and in maybe kind of a weird sci-fi lens. And I don't know how it's going to be related to plants or houseplants, but we'll get there. Like.
I mean, I can see that a little bit in kind of the music videos and stuff that you've put out already. Like, there seems to be a kind of like cohesive narrative to a lot of them. And like, I looked at the music video for Hypocrite and I was getting like kind of almost like dystopian kind of, you know, the internal conflict, external calm kind of thing from it.
Thank you. Yeah, that was one that I just had the idea for it, because you know, like sometimes when you're listening to a song and you're like, I can picture like this music video, and so it was really cool to like see that translated. But yeah, I think I tend to be a very heavy narrative.
And, it's a very visual thing.
Thank you.
Well, I love to hear that. And so album's on the cards. Is there anything else that you can, you know, we can expect in 2020?
Any little secrets?
What's going on for you guys this year?
What is going on? I mean, I feel like, yeah, we really want to just spend some time writing. The plan is to release a couple of singles over the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do have another dream for a music video. But again, those are... Dude, music videos are so much work for, like, when you put it out and you're like, wow, I've done this. And then it's just like, huh.
Once it's up on the YouTube, you're just like, yeah, that's everything.
That was so many hours of work. It's crazy.
You look at that 3-minute video at the end.
Yeah.
It felt like more than this.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know how people make real movies. I guess there's a lot more people involved. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, planning on getting some singles, because I think we want to, yeah, kind of set the scene for the album before releasing it. So, yeah.
And, like, the debut album is also the statement piece, so I'm guessing there's, like, a lot of planning for the image of it and everything.
Yeah, I think that's something that I have been, like, thinking a lot about, where it's like, okay, yeah, what does it look like to maybe have that as, like, a full intention and vibe, and, yeah.
And are the music videos, like you were saying, there's bigger crews when you start working on, like, bigger productions. Mm-hmm. Is it very DIY when you guys do stuff?
Yes. like, the first music video we did was just because one of Amir's friends was like, hey, because it was during the strike for filming, and he was like, I want to work on my portfolio. Want to do a music video? And we were like, sure. And so it was, like, him and another guy. And then this past one, I reached out to a friend of ours who, like, does some filming, who had never done a music video, but I was like, hey, want to film this? And he was like, sure. And so our team was me, him, we hired an actress who was awesome, and then the band and all of our partners. We were like, come make fake blood.
That must have been fun.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, it was a lot, but it was fun. Yeah.
I'm getting the DIY sense. Like, you were telling us before, you crocheted your, what do you call it?
I would say just top.
The sunflowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm getting a lot of good stuff from that, and I can't wait for when the album comes out.
This is Zelle from The Houseplants, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent, host of CFRC's Numbers with Wings. I have good news, at least I think it is. Jesse has given me another hour, so my show will now go from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. on Sundays. So now you'll have 2 hours of songs, stories, tangents, and local concert news. Tune in Sundays at 1 until 3, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. This week, we've got another fun special episode for you featuring a conversation with local musician Rich Tayo of Jukebox County. Well known for his songwriting capturing voodoo blues, gospel, astrofolk, and rock, his work in mental health and mental health advocacy and education, and various community-facing projects including Rock and Roll Revival, Midnight Magic Rodeo Show, and the much-beloved rock and disco bingo this girl used to play weekly at the grad club back in the day. Now Rich has a new project out. Let's have a listen to his online teaser and then we'll jump into a full chat with him about the initiative and all things Jukebox County. Thanks for joining us.
So I just wanted to explain what the heck I'm up to these days. So I'm doing this little scavenger hunt. It's going to be online as well, but mostly in the analog world, and it's, you know, little acts of kindness, like buy someone a sandwich today. There's ones that are more creative invitations, like, you know, write a poem and send it to me and maybe it'll be read on stage or it'll be put into a song. So there's like about 40 sort of calls to action, and so once someone does the thing, then they send me a message. And then you get put into this secret chat. And once you're in the secret chat, then it gets more interesting because then you're going to get other invitations and other sort of dares to do some other stuff. One will be like a secret event that you'll be invited to. And yeah, all for the real intention of, you know, grassroots, analog, connecting. You know, take a selfie with a stranger, it's one of them. So just like ways to, you know, connect with people, connect with art, and ultimately it'll be leading into some other stuff that I won't reveal yet, but it's just starting the foundation of a new project. So yeah, keep your eye out online or in the city of Kingston for random little encounters.
All right, Rich Tayo, thank you very much for joining us back here at CFRC. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited you're here.
Nice to be here. I love CFRC.
Thanks, buddy. We love you too. All right, so just before Skeleton Park Arts Festival, on your social media, you've been putting out some fun little teasers about an interesting and really fun-sounding new initiative involving calls to action for acts of kindness and art making and other things. You've been posting this on your social media just recently. What's it all about? Tell us more.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, in a way, it's like a combination of the two worlds that I live in. You know, there's the music stuff I do, and then there's sort of like the psychotherapy, you know, working in sort of like transpersonal work with people. So like mystical experiences and psychedelic states and things like that. And so it's kind of bringing those two together and seeing, I guess, the state of the world and just sort of like the disembodiment and the lack of connection. And so all of this has sort of just like been brewing in my mind. And So I'm kind of combining all of that and doing this wild kind of, I guess it'd be, in a way it could be seen as a game, but it could also just be a way of looking at life as more playful. So yeah, it's kind of combined, yeah, all those things together to create this idea that popped in my head, and I've just been like developing it over time a little bit.
Awesome. So can you give us an idea of some of the calls to action that we might see? I know you don't want to reveal everything right away because there'll be some surprises, but give us a taste.
Yeah, so there's going to be layers to it. So the first layer is out in Kingston now. Things like, you know, call someone you haven't talked to in 6 months. You know, buy a stranger a sandwich. There's like a buy a stranger a tea. What else? I've got a few here. Like, write a short poem and send it to me, and I'll maybe include it in a song or on stage or something. Make a collage and post it somewhere in the city. So kind of like paying it forward. What else? Yeah, take a day off work and connect with nature. So it's kind of like calls to, yeah, you know, acts of kindness, connection, self-care, creativity. And then, yeah, the next layers are going to be more interesting, but it's just sort of getting the wheels turning a bit and getting people involved right now. So they're a bit easier, I guess.
Awesome. Now, I kind of wondered about this too. You mentioned in a few of your posts that you've had or that you've got out there online that this is very analog. What does that mean?
Yeah. So basically, I'm using the term analog to describe like the embodied human direct experience. So a lot of it's going to be like, you know, out in the world. But then part of it is like, okay, can we use the digital world and the social media to get people back into the analog? You know, so one of the ideas to do in the future, one of the events, it'll be like kind of a secret event, will be like a tech-free event. So they've been doing a lot of those in Europe. And so, you know, you show up, you put your phone away, you play games, you make art, you chat, and it's just like this sort of more analog experience. So yeah, I think of it in terms of, you know, analog is sort of where we're embodied and we're in the real world, and then we're in this digital sort of like out of body space as well. So I'm trying to get people back into the analog a little bit.
And make those real human connections.
Yeah.
Nice. Now I have to ask, because analog is something that keeps popping up when I keep hearing about this project. Is it in any way associated with the Analog Music Festival on Wolf Island later this summer? I know you're tied right in very well with things happening at Hotel Wolf Island and Wolf Island Records. What's going on?
It's not, but maybe I'll reach out to Laura and maybe, because part of what I want to do too is get local bands and local artists to sort of like donate, you know, tickets or merch. And then basically part of the next layer too would be people who are in the chat will get coordinates for hidden things around the city. So maybe I'll see if I can get a ticket or two for the Analog Festival, and that'll be part of the game.
All right, Laura Kelly, over to you, buddy. Awesome. So let's hear a little bit more, Rich, about the motivations behind this project that you've launched, and also what you hope happens. What are the end goals?
I mean, ultimately the end goal, like I kind of approached it more as it's like this challenge to myself. So really, if nothing happens, I'm like, I feel happy with it, just because for me, it's just engaging in this cool way and having these ideas and sort of following up on them and getting that vision kind of clear. Ideally, you know, it'd be cool to just have people reporting like, yeah, like I met some random person on the street, you know, because they approached me, you know, and I won't get into what those dares are, but you know, maybe people will start connecting more, or people just like laugh at some ridiculous thing they see or that they do. Maybe people start to appreciate, you know, the role of like art and music and their own wellness and their own mental health. And yeah, I mean, part of it too is, and this will be revealed over time, but part of it is leading up to an album release as well. And so it's sort of unrelated, but it's very much related. And part of it is interesting because I don't know how it's going to unfold yet. And so part of it is that people will be playing a role in the storytelling of this thing. And so what's kind of cool is this, yeah, it's this like, yeah, almost like sci-fi, but real, like collaborative, creative storytelling that's very much live in this moment. And so I don't know where it's going to go, but ultimately I have like kind of a rough draft, if you will, but mm-hmm. I want to make space for what will come, right? So it will lead to a release of an album, but that could be in many months. And there's a story tied into the album that will come into this. It'll weave in eventually, but not yet.
So your next Jukebox County album really sounds like it's going to grow from a massive community effort here too, based on community and acts of kindness.
Yeah. And it, yeah. So yeah, I won't reveal why, but yeah, there's this story that will come about, and then we'll need the community to step up and support these fictional yet archetypal and, you know, people you see out on the street every day type thing. So yeah, keep your eye out for that, but that'll unfold as we go.
All right. Well, we'll be touching base with you once the album drops, because we'll want to come full circle from this conversation a few months down the line to see, all right, let's hear more about how all of this contributed. I'm really excited. Yay. All right. So speaking of your music, I'd love to hear what's coming up for you with Jukebox County. You did mention that you're working on a new album, and you've released some singles late last year as well, which we'll play some of them on our program today. But yeah, what's happening in terms of music that you're doing? Are you playing any shows coming up?
Yeah, so we're playing tonight actually at the Toucan. And so that'll be with, and I mean that it might, this might not be aired at that point, but basically June 19th with John McClurg's band. And then there's a date in July. There's a buddy, Garrett Barr, who's a Kingston local. He is coming with his awesome band. They're called Smelloship. It's like a funk. It's a very fun funk band. So that'll be July 26th on the island, Wolf Island, at the hotel. It's a matinee show. So I think it's about 3 p.m.
My brother-in-law is the percussionist in that band.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, that's good.
I've seen them play in Wakefield last year, face melting. It'll be a great show.
Yeah, so we're going to start the early matinee show for them and then get the ball rolling for them. And yeah, I think, I mean, tonight and then I think that's it. Part of it was interesting because part of it was I was trying to get some like local gigs, but then with such a big band, it's hard to get everyone. And, you know, they're all musicians. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to take my attention away from trying to get a gig, and I'm going to put my attention into this project. And that will be, as you know, like, that's sort of more my style anyway, like grassroots sort of like creative things like Midnight Magic Rodeo Show and Disco Bingo. And just like, so I think I get a lot more from just these fun, creative things that create a little buzz, and just they're a bit mysterious. And yeah, those two singles that just got released were Can You See It? And It Gets Twisted. And both of those, basically the themes of those songs are what is sort of behind this project as well. So Can You See It is about, you know, I guess coming back to the present moment, like noticing what's going on and connecting. And then It Gets Twisted is about, you know, if we don't have musical and artistic outlets, then it gets twisted, it gets mangled inside. We need to have these outlets to like move things and understand our place in the world. So those are the two songs that, yeah, just got put out, and they're leading into the album launch eventually.
Awesome. Now, Rich, before we wrap up, buddy, how can people stay up with the latest news about you, your new project, and also all things Jukebox County?
Yeah, probably because of this project, and it's going to be analog, but a little bit on Instagram, is probably like at Jukebox County 15 is whatever it's called, my Instagram thing. I am more analog, so find me out on the street. And yeah, some of the links that I posted out in the world that are hidden, some of them will go to a website, but I won't reveal what that website is, but that has like sort of the steps of this game. And yeah, just like probably Instagram and or in person is honestly the best. That's the best way to reach me.
Amazing. Well, Rich, thank you very much for jumping into the virtual studio with me to chat about this new initiative and share some stuff about your great music as well. We look forward to seeing you playing lots of music this summer and so excited about the new album coming soonish.
Yeah, this is my project now, so the album will take a back seat as things unfold. Thanks so much for giving me an opportunity to chat about it.
To an underworld we've never seen, with bright eyes searching for something familiar. Take my hand and be brave, there's a bright end to the cave. With open eyes, our mistakes won't seem so tragic. Sprouting out to join the garden. spend. There's no age of innocence. Just make your dollars and cents. Wonder where the time went.
That was Can You See It, preceded by It Gets Twisted, two lovely singles released by Jukebox County late last year. Thanks to Rich Tayo for joining us to chat about his new community project. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and his wonderful music. Coming up, we're going to spin a recent release by local jazz musician Oscar Evans called Nardis, a reggae-style single that emerged as a part of a series of warm-up and soundcheck recordings during his Gotta Start Somewhere EP session recording. He later collaborated with producer Justin Bulos to mix the track into an old-school fusion of jazz and dub reggae, which features local musicians Paul Morrison on flute, Justin Vary on drums, Tiago Cardarso on guitar, and Oscar Evans himself on bass. Here's Nardis by Oscar Evans now on the Release Radar Rundown. And welcome back. You just heard Oscar Evans's Nardis. Coming up next, we've got a great track that's been trending hot on CFRC's airwaves in the recent weeks called Combinations, of one-man band release from local artist Plune that marries Beck's experimentalism with Neil Young's folk rock sound. Learn more about the artist and keep up with the latest by following them at Plune Music on Instagram. Thanks once again to Rich Tayo for joining us here on the Release Radar Rundown to chat about his new project. Catch up with him at Jukebox County 15 on Instagram to stay up to date and learn about the fun creative community building calls to action he's running this summer. Just a reminder that local musicians who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to follow us at CFRC Music on Instagram while you're there. Emerging musicians can also sign up through our Instagram and website for our upcoming and totally free Airwave YGK songwriting workshop with local singer-songwriter Savannah Shea on July 3rd. Space is limited for this free workshop, RSVP now. For now, we'll end our show with the single Combinations by Plune. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.